Okay, Rabbi, say, well, once again, Shabbosos and Adash Shurim become a theme here, but I'd like to talk about a pasuk in Iyov. Now, Iyov is mentioned in this week's Parsha, Iyov. Rashi mentions Iyov in this week's Parsha, but I'd like to talk about a pasuk in Iyov, and then I'd like to connect it to the Meraglim, then perhaps say something that some of you may feel is a little controversial. Now there's a pasuk in Iyov. I know that most of you know Iyov by heart, so you don't have to look it up. So here's the pasuk. The pasuk says in Iyov like this: Kain Orchos. Now Iyov consists of conversations. It's a little bit of a complicated novel here. It consists of, the words are hard and the structure is hard. It consists of conversations between Iyov's friends and Iyov. So Iyov's friends tell him like this: Now that he lost everything, he lost money and children and health, and he lost everything. Kain Orchos kol shochechei keil. So Bildad tells him, just so are the ways of all those who forget God. The sikvas choneif toved. And the hope of a choneif will end up being lost. Now the question is, what does a choneif mean? Let's say choneif. Ches nun fei. So, Rav Schwab Zatzal in his Pirush on Iyov, which is fantastic, says the word choneif and choneif are related. What is a choneif? Choneif comes from the word chanifa. What is?
Yeah, somebody who.
What?
To be choneif is to say things to people to make them feel a certain way.
And even though you don't mean it, it's false flattery.
That's the word.
A flatterer. A choneif is a flatterer. So says Rav Schwab Zatzal, a choneif is a person who flatters himself. A person, I'm going to read it to you. On the other hand, a choneif, our pasuk describes a person who fools himself into believing he is more than he really is. It is used here in the sense of one who deludes himself into believing that he's really righteous and religious. However, in reality, maybe even barely known to himself, he has long forgotten about the Kodesh Baruch Hu and has no connection with him whatsoever. Ah, what a shrek. Then Rav Schwab does something which he very rarely does. He speaks to us in first person. Well, I am confident that most of us are not choneifim, flatterers and pretenders. Unfortunately, many of us are chaneifim, in the sense that we believe we are more than we really are. We may think we are the epitome of honesty, that we are straightforward and fair in our business practices and interpersonal relationships, and that we are not easily aroused to anger. Or we may believe that our mitzvahs and mitzvahs and tefillin and good deeds are practiced on a high level. We have bitachin, trust in God, our Torah knowledge is quite thorough. Yet in actuality, we may be far away from those things. And in the process of our delusion, we may even have forgotten about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What an unbelievable thing. The tikvas choneif. And the tikva of choneif is tovei. So, you can open up your chumashim now, not the shlach, but I want to show you a pasuk, and then I want to show you a vort on this pasuk. Rav Schwab actually quotes Rav Shamshon Ofel Hirsch. Rav Shamshon Ofel Hirsch in Bamidbar, Lamed Hei, Lamed Gimel, 35-33. 35-33, Lamed Hei, Lamed Gimel. Rav Shashavel Hirsch says in Parshas Masai, whenever we get to the page number, please tell everybody else, Lamed Hei Lamed Gimel, 35-33 in Bamidbar, the Pasuk says, V'lo sachnifu esa oretz. You got it? What page? 932. V'lo sachnifu esa oretz. What does it mean? Lo sachnifu esa oretz. What does the words mean? Lo sachnifu esa oretz. Anybody know? And you shall not make the land in which ye are into a hypocrite for blood. And ye shall not make the land in which ye are into a hypocrite. I'm just reading the English on Rav Shamshon Ofel Hirsch, which it's the old English. Listen to what he says here. Targum says it means you should not be mechayiv. like a chayvun. Come in. Look at this. Look at this. Even young people here at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's unbelievable. Next week, Beth Hashem, we'll be back to regular time, 9:30. Now listen here. To play the hypocrite, to put on an air of piety, to present an appearance externally, which by no means corresponds to the inner reality, so that he who makes a man into a hypocrite takes away the inner kernel, leaving the outer appearance unchanged. You can look, you can walk the walk, and you can talk the talk, and you can look the look, and you have no shaykhus to what you're trying to present. None whatsoever. That's a chonef. Loisach nifu. Don't turn yourself into a hypocrite by doing things that you don't really mean. Okay? So that's Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch. And Rav Shamshon Fol Hirsch then goes on to say that the letter Gimel and the letter Ayin are interchangeable when there's a three-letter shorish or a three-letter word. So the word Anaf is a branch, which means growth. And Chanaf is a faker, which means destruction. That's what he wants to say. Chanaf versus Anaf. Okay, unbelievable. And it all comes from the word that Chanifah is to others, but Chanaf versus Chonef is to yourself. On this note, now I will tell you the opposite of a Rav Schwab pshat, meaning I will now tell you a Chassidish pshat instead of a Litvish pshat, but it's nonetheless a scary pshat. In Chumash Vayikra, Chofei, Pasuk Yudalit, 25:14. First one to get the place, please tell us where it is. 698. Sheni. Wait, v'chisimkeru mimkol amisecha, when you sell something to a friend, o konomi ad amisecha, al tonu ish es ochiv. Anybody know what al tonu ish es ochiv means? Al tonu ish es ochiv. What does that mean? Al tonu ish es ochiv. Somebody please tell me what it means. What's that? Al tonu ish es ochiv. You shouldn't what? Agree, that's a fancy word, agree. What does it mean, agree?
Aggravate.
No. Okay, I mean, I'm not saying no. It means you should not take advantage of somebody by cheating them. You shouldn't cheat. Altonu ish es ochiv. V'chisim kumim kol amisecha, karam amisecha altonu ish es ochiv. Zok the kotzka. Don't cheat others, including yourself. How do you cheat yourself? How does one cheat themselves?
You delude yourself.
That's how you cheat yourself. You talk yourself into something which you really are not holding by. And that way, you are, again, cheating yourself. Don't cheat yourself, which of course relates to what we're talking about, chonef. Now one more. This you don't have. And with this, we're going to try to attach to our sedras. So please turn to Shlach. Turn to Shlach. Beginning of the Parsha, first one to get the page, please tell us. Right, first page of Shlach. Yud Gimel Pasagal. 798 in Bamidbar. 798 in Bamidbar. Thank you very much. So it says like this. Shlach Lecha Anoshim. We all know what that means. Shlach Lecha Anoshim. Send out these people. Who are these people? The Gedolei Hador. Literally, from the highest of the high. Among them was, we all know, Hoshea ben Nun and Kalei ben Yefuna. And the diak that is made is that Kalei ben Yefuna is only number 3 and Yeshua is only number 5 because these people, says the Rabban, were greater than Kalei ben Yeshua. Talking about great, great people. So now, of course, the difficulty, the most difficult part of this whole parasha is, what in the world happened to these people? What happened to them? You talk about Gedolei Hador, what happened to them? They ended up lying, they ended up cheating, they ended up destroying Klal Yisrael. We are in Chicago right now because of them. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean? Vos
meintos. It means that even the greatest can fall.
Even the greatest can fall, that's fine. Why did they fall? What did they do? Now we know from the get-go that they had some plan here, some ulterior motive. Something was pushing them to come back with a bad report from Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, Davin, the whole thing is just so incredibly challenging to figure out what's going on. You know, you got a whole bunch of Gedolei Hador who turned into Rishom, Shever Rishom, responsible again for the death of 600,000 people, for the changing of history of the world, instead of Moshe Rabbeinu living and going into Eretz Yisrael. The whole thing, it's incredible to understand what happened. So, actually, Rav Dessler talks about this a little, more than a little. He talks about it, and Rabbi Yerucham talks about it. Yitzroi Shaladim is Gavrolov. Everybody has a Yitzahara. I mean, that's what you have to deal with here. Chashuvim Mukshirim. Ramban says Seder Minyan Kulam Fi Malasam. And Rabbi Yerucham brings down, I remember hearing this from the Reshiva Shlita, Shibizech Rafu Shlem, and Seishachol Yisrael. As you mentioned yesterday, before davening was over, we're also learning this week all the Shurimar, Lila Nishmas, those people who were killed in Eretz Yisrael, and for Rafu Shlem, those people who were injured in Eretz Yisrael, and as I said yesterday, for those people who were psychologically injured, and emotionally injured also in Eretz Yisrael, hard to believe anybody had a normal Shabbos, especially in Kiryat Arba. Unbelievable. So the Ramban says that these people were great, as I just mentioned, that Seder Minyan Kulam Fi Malasam V'Chochmasam, Yeshua Ben Nun was only number 5. And Moshe Ben Yeshua, Kali went to Davin, Yeshua got a tefillah from Moshe, the whole thing is like unbelievable. So Rabbi Yerucham says, and again, Rabbi Dessler says something a little bit similar, they didn't go in with the intention of Habol Atayr. They do something good. They didn't go in with that intention. But this is what I want to read to you. I know you all heard of Rabbi Shaul Salanter, right? Shaul Salanter. Shaul Salanter said on himself, you ready for this? He did not trust himself. Well, he had Maimonis Atzmoy. He was afraid to have yichud. You think you're going to know what the last part of the sentence is. He was afraid to have yichud levadoi. He was afraid to have yichud by himself with a box of money that was not counted, that did not belong to him. Hear that? He didn't trust himself with a box of money that was not counted by the owners, that did not belong to him. What do you think of that? Give an example. I recently had $18,000 in cash that did not belong to me. Scary thing. I don't say I thought like Rabbi Shaul Salanter. I'm not comparing myself to him. I was just scared about losing it and taking care of it. $18,000 in cash, a lot of money. Says Rabbi Yerucham, now Rabbi Yerucham lived about two generations after Rabbi Shaul Salanter. Rabbi Yerucham was a Talmud of the Altav and Kelm. The Altav and Kelm was a Talmud of Rabbi Shaul Salanter. He says on himself, Ani hayisi loimamen atzmi gam alkupa shomois menuyim. I wouldn't even trust myself with a box of cash that didn't belong to me, even if the owners already counted it. I wouldn't trust myself with that. Can you please explain to me what's going on here? What? Shaul Salanter, what's Rabbi Shaul Salanter saying? What's he saying, Rabbi Shaul Salanter? You know what he's saying? He's talking about a chonif. He's talking about a chonif. A chonif means a person, it's an unbelievable thing, who is not really in touch with who it really is. Now, Rabbi Shaul Salanter was the epitome of somebody who was in touch with who he really was, and therefore he was afraid he wouldn't be alone in a room with a box of money that wasn't counted by the Bible. And Rabbi Yerucham says, I'm not alone with my drinking room, Rabbi Shaul Salanter. I don't even trust myself to be in a room with a box of money that belongs to somebody else that was counted. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So in life, Rabbi Yisai, very often, the issues that present themselves as challenging are challenging because we are not willing to really be in touch with ourselves to the nth degree. What's really motivating me to say what I say? what's really motivating me to do what I do? That can be many things. Simultaneously, there are many things happen. A human being is a complex being. Many different emotions. Many different emotions. Many different feelings. But the question is, why am I doing what I am doing? They asked Reb Chatzko Levenstein Zatzal. I believe it was the Briska Rav who was Nifter. I believe. Could be wrong. They asked him to be maspid. And he said no. One of the Gedali Ador is asked to be maspid, one of the Gedali Ador, and he said no. He said he can't be maspid. They said, why? He said, because I might cry during the hesped. So, thus is. Listen to what he said. Listen to this. He had a grandchild who had died recently. And that grandchild happens to be Rebbetzin Levin's brother. Rebbetzin Levin's brother. Rebbetzin Levin's grandfather, Chatzko Levinch. He said, I'm afraid that if I cry, I might cry because of my grandson, not because of the Briska Rav. And people are going to think I'm crying because of the Briska Rav, so I can't be maspid. You know, a mensch, that's a mensch who also learned by the Altaf and Kelm, who was a second generation from Bishol Salanter. That's a person who was saying that I'm in touch with myself. Completely and totally, and therefore I can't do it. It's such an unbelievable statement. Such an unbelievable statement. Now, it's Yadua that the Chofetz Chaim was an incredible goyin. When you ask somebody about the Chofetz Chaim, what he was, most people answer you, he's a tzaddik. Chaim is a tzaddik, Lashon Hara, a tzaddik. Yeah, he wrote the Mishnah Berurah also, it's a compilation of things. But a goyin, Reb Chaim Briska was a goyin. Reb Chaim wasn't, somebody could think. But it's Yadua that if you go through his Svarim, you see the man was an absolute goyin, oylam shein kamayu. So somebody was in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Aaron Kotler was visiting Eretz Yisrael at the time. Somebody went over to Rav Aaron Kotler and said, how come the Welt doesn't realize that the Chofetz Chaim was such a goyin? A tzaddik, yes, a goyin, no. So Rav Aaron Kotler said, a gewaltige Scheile. Okay, nice shot. But not only gewaltige Scheile, Rav Aaron Kotler said, der Scheile, we gotta bring into the Briska Rav. Okay, I don't know if I would have thought so, but Lamai said, so they went to the Briska Rav. And the Biskrov said, Ritzoin Yureyov Yase. Pasuk from Ashrei. The Ritzoin of his Yureyov, those who fear him, Yase. Hashem will do their Ritzon. Hashem will do the Ritzon of a tzaddik. Hashem will do the Ritzon. Ritzoin Yureyov Yase. So Aaron Kotler was Nishtoimim from the terrace of the Biskrov. And the Talmud wanted to ask Rabbi Kotler, I'm missing the boat over here. Like, what, what's the kasha? I mean, I asked the kasha, the Briska Rav, and what's the Briska Rav's teretz, and why are you so excited? Like, what's going on? So, before Rabbi Kotler had a chance to answer, they met somebody, and the kids, he never got to hear an answer from Rabbi Kotler. Then Rabbi died. Rabbi went back to America. He never saw him again, and Rabbi died. Years later, he met Rabbi Shneya. He tells Rabbi Shneya, what is Maisa? He says, Rav Shneya, maybe, what's the pshat in the Maisa? He says, I'll tell you. He says like this. Chofetz Chaim knew he was a goyin. He knew a lot of Torah. Even though I just read a letter that Chofetz Chaim wrote to Klal Yisrael in the late 1920s when he was close to 90 years old, or more than 90 years old, he wrote a letter to Klal Yisrael, please do not call me a goyin. Yeah, he wrote a letter, an open letter. And the whole letter was about this. The Yerushalmi says that if a person is rumored to know two mesechtas, but he really only knows one, he's obligated to tell everybody he only knows one mesecht. He doesn't know two. Chotzayim wrote an open letter. Please don't call me a guy. See, Rosh Hashanah said like this. Chotzayim knew who he was. So he was mispalel to Hashem that people should know who he was. So that's what the Briska Rav said. Ritzoin Yireyav Yasa. So Rav Aaron Kotler was nishtoimim that he was mispalel, that people should not know that he's really a goyin, and that's what happened. So affect the kasha, how can people know he's a tzaddik?
people will listen to him, no? If they know he's listening.
That's not bad. All that said at the pshat is, because it was never oil on his das, the davin, that people shouldn't think I'm a tzaddik, because he didn't think it was a tzaddik. Yeah. Like you say in Yiddish, kevel nishkicholim, you know what I mean? That should be a problem. So what's the bottom line? And maybe that's Taka White or Baruch Kotler was nishtaimim. Okay, ech veset. I don't know. I just heard this maisa recently, so I don't have a good, you know, good enough maserit and all the details. That's the maisa. But what's the bottom line from all this, Rabbi say? When a person is engaged in something that's, let's say, volatile, critical, national, I mean, it applies to things that are not critical and volatile and national, but something which is critical, volatile, and national, a person has to know, what am I really doing? What's my motivation? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What's going on here? What's going on here?
Isn't everything
critical? Yeah, everything, as I'm saying, everything can really be critical, volatile, and national. But everything, even if it's not critical and volatile and national, everything is Avodas Hashem. So what am I doing? Am I Avodas Hashem? Am I being, as the Kotzke said, Leisainu? Am I being Avodas Leisainu? Am I really cheating myself? Because I'm taking myself out. Or as for Schwab, based on Rav Hirsch Chazal says, there was a difference between a Chanef and a Chonef. What am I? What am I? So Rabbi say it takes a lot of serious work. A lot of serious work. You see, therapists, I don't claim to be a therapist, even though we should take a goof, but I'm not a therapist, and I read a little bit about it. You know, they try to get you to say, you know, why do you feel this way? You know, why do you feel this way? What happened when you were young? You know, something happened, you know. Why are you reacting this way? Which is, it's understandable. Rabbi Shoslanta is saying, that Chazal is saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? Is it gaiva? Is it taiva? Is it covered? Is it kinna? Is it sinna? Well, what are you doing? What's going on? Why are you getting so angry about this? Something's really bothering you. Why are you getting so angry about this?
About
whatever the situation is. Somebody gets angry. What are you screaming about? What happened? What's going on, my son? Now, I mentioned yesterday at Pirkei Avos, so I was mentioning in the morning, here's the shiloh, I'm just putting it up on the table, that somebody asked me yesterday at Kiddush. Okay, a person has a moysid out of town, and the Federation's offering them money, like the Federation sometimes likes to do. But in order to get money, you have to acquiesce to the Federation's, you know, conditions. So the Federation has a condition. The condition is they want the CEO of the Federation to speak at your event. Okay? So he's gay. So can he speak at your event? I'll tell me when he was Michal Shabbos he could speak at the event. So as I said yesterday, when a person is a Michal Shabbos from Mono Litzlan, there's a difference. The difference like this. He does not wear a badge of honor that says, I am a Michal Shabbos. Most Jews will say, okay, I'm a Michal Shabbos, Rachmanu Litzlan, you know, they use the word Rachmanu, you know, I just don't do that. But a person who's gay is openly defying what to say, even though Michal Shabbos is also, but he's openly defying it with a shita. With a shita.
And what if he's Michal Shabbos with a shita?
Okay, if he is, then in a chanami. In a chanami. If a person is married to a goy with a shita, you let him speak. You know, they're good. They used to have a policy. They did not allow a politician to speak at their dinner if he was pro-gay. I mean, I can't believe I just say these words so easily now. It's a Shrek. But it stopped because there's no such thing. There's no more politicians that aren't pro. There's no such thing. You can't be a politician unless you're pro. There's no such thing. Nobody has to get up and say, I'm a politician, I'm against slavery. I mean, you know, that's the way it is nowadays. You can't, as I said yesterday morning and yesterday afternoon with I Do in Macy's. It's a Shrek. It's a Shrek. So, but Lamaisa, so I told the person, A person came to me afterwards and said, why did you mention what I said at Kiddush by Shalosh Shuras? What did it have to do with it? I said, it has to do with the fact that why are you acquiescing if you do? I said, yeah, I'm not telling you should. I told me shouldn't. I said, but if you want to, why are you acquiescing? What's the cheshbon here? Are you a chanef or a chonef? What's going on? That's what it requires. Why am I doing it? It's cool all the shame shemayim only for money. Should I be able to continue what I'm doing? Nothing's pashut. Nothing's pashut. That's why Rabban Kotler Zatzal was once challenged about doing something, and he said, I shouldn't. And Baal Batim said, the yeshiva will close. Zolda Samachin. Let Lakewood close. You can't become a chonef in order to build Lakewood. You're not going to build Lakewood with a chonef. You're not going to build anything if you're a chonef. That's what's going on here. So the limud from the Meraglim, which is what Rabbi Rucham is writing about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, is that the great people also have to make a cheshbon. Why am I doing what I'm doing? The problem is that by great people, a slight imperfection brings havoc. Smaller people is not as, distinguishable. Okay, Rabbi Say, I am stopping. It is 9:30. I'm wishing all of us hatzlacha that we should not be chayntfim, and we should not be a chonef either. That's what Rosh Schwab is telling us. And we should take that limud, and we should be able to be matzliach. Tuesday night I will not be here for shir, but once again, Sunday morning, Bez Hashem, we will be on at regular time at 9:30. Hatzlacha, Rabbi, to all of us, kol tov, Rabbi Say. Thank you all for coming.